Okay, another story we're watching today involves the richest man in the world, Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos. Social media has been on fire ever since Bezos said yesterday that the company that owns the National Enquirer tried to extort him. And we're going to start our Friday social media roundup with that story. Femi Okay is host of The Stream on Al Jazeera English. Hi, Femi.
Hi there, Peter.
So let's lay this out for people. Jeff Bezos says that American Media Inc., or AMI, it's the owner of the National Enquirer, threatened to blackmail him by publishing intimate photos he'd sent to a woman who was not his wife. Bezos did not back down. He wrote about it in a blog post on Medium, and social media has weighed in ever since.
Absolutely. That Medium post where people can post longer form blogs, writings, did really, really well. Over 150,000 people have seen that. More people have seen the tweet leading them to that posting. And people are weighing in. There's some baggage that comes with Jeff Bezos. So people are weighing in terms of what he does at the Washington Post, what he's been doing with Amazon. For instance, we have here from Hubert Elski: if only you cared as much about Amazon employees' working conditions as you do about your reputation. Hint, greatly improving the first will hugely improve the latter. Lots of empathy, though, for Bezos. For every Windy City posting on Twitter, I like Bezos even more now, who actually reads the National Enquirer. Every time I walk by the magazine, I cringe at the covers.
It's interesting that he didn't publish this story in the Washington Post, which he owns, that he actually drew attention to the blog post on Medium by tweeting about it, and that's when it caught on. And so in that way, it is very almost purely a social media story.
Exactly. And people on social are saying that the reason he did this was because he owns the Washington Post. So that may not be a good use of the fact that he's the owner publishing his own story. Then the Washington Post has to fact check the story, becomes all kind of a complex conversation. And so he did it on himself by himself with his own blog post.
And I just want to point out that Amazon is a financial supporter of NPR. There is another story all over social media this week. Conversations about blackface again after two top Democrats in Virginia.
We just talked about this.
We just did. You were talking, I believe, last week about Florida's new Republican Secretary of State that stepped down because of the fact that he was in blackface. Now we have this crisis in Virginia. What have you seen on that?
Well, the conversations are evolving, so it's not just SMH or shaking my head, as you would say, online.
I didn't know
it's
that.
Not just that. And not just face palming. There's a lot of face palming going on, particularly as it's Black History Month. I think this is the kind of Black history that we probably don't want to be revisiting every February. But people are just breaking down the stories that they know, that they've experienced, and trying to work out, well, how do you get a sense of forgiveness if these deeds have been so incredibly racist. Justin Zimmerman remembers being at the University of Alabama, and they had an event called the Old South Day while he was an undergrad, and the white fraternities and sororities would dress up in antebellum attire, and that finally stopped in 2008.
Wow. Twitter's kind of a tough place to have a productive conversation about this. Are you seeing, you know, meaningful dialogue between people?
Conversations about, well, how do you go past this and forgive this? And people are actually being very willing to share what happened to them in the 80s and the 90s and the fact that they dressed up or their parents dressed them up and put brown face or black face makeup on them. But then if everybody who has a black face photograph or image in their social media platforms, if they all had to resign, who would be left? How many people would be left? So how do you get by this? What is a genuine apology? Those are the conversations that are going on now. And people are beginning to out themselves as well.
Interesting.
I did blackface.
Right.
I was 19. Yeah. It wasn't really my fault.
Which is a tough thing to admit publicly, especially for all the world to see on social media.
Absolutely.
Okay. So the internet was not a complete disaster this week. In fact, there was an effort underway to reclaim social media as a place for good, Femi. How has that played out?
Sounds like an onion joke.
Hold on,
doesn't
is
it?
That possible?
Is that possible? Ah, we're so cynical. So Reclaim Social is an idea that's really set up by NGOs and charities and companies that have sort of a social consciousness about them and want to do good in the world. And they're looking at social the same way that we do and seeing that sometimes it can be a cesspool of hate and very salacious and not very productive. And if you look at this hashtag, Reclaim Social, you will see what some of the big and some of the tiny charities and volunteers around the world are doing to actually tell good stories. Vinay Nair says on social, it's so inspiring to scroll through this hashtag Reclaim Social feed and just find my feed in general is much better. Amazing people doing amazing work. This is what we need to spread. Love it. So this is your assignment, everybody. Go onto social, look for Reclaim Social, and you will walk away smiling.
That's homework I can get behind, Femi. Femi Oke, host of The Stream on Al Jazeera English. Thank you very much, as always.
You're welcome.